You know what we have right there in Luke chapter 16? We have a call from below. This man became concerned about those following in his footsteps. He remembered all those times he had opportunities to trust Jesus, and yet he did not do it. And we see that call from below. Somebody said this, the greatest soul winners are in hell. You know why? Because if they could get out, they wouldn't care what anybody thinks. Most of you have heard of the Salvation Army. Many, many years ago, William Booth founded the Salvation Army. And General William Booth said this. He said, I wish I could hang every enlistee over hell for 24 hours. And if I could, I'd have a different kind of soldier.
Encouraging way to begin counting down the courage with that great song from Hiles Henderson College called God is My Refuge. Aren't you thankful that we have a safe place in the midst of a chaotic and sometimes turbulent world we can run to in times of storm, in times of doubt, in times of trouble? We can run to God. He is a refuge and a wonderful help in a time of need, and we give him the praise and glory for all that he is this morning. Thank you for tuning in to Countdown to Courage. My name is Zach Pope, and as always, it's a great joy for me to be hosting and producing Countdown to Courage, and we're so glad that you've tuned in on the radio today. Wherever you may be listening from, and we're thankful we have listeners all over the United States and even from around the world via our podcast, and we are so thankful for those of you who are faithful listeners, and if you're a first-time listener, welcome. We're so glad that you've tuned in to Countdown to Courage. This is a ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Union Grove, North Carolina. If you live within our local listening area, we want to just extend a warm invitation to you to come join us for one of our upcoming services at Calvary Baptist Church. We're located at 300 Indian Hill Road in Union Grove, North Carolina, not too far from Statesville, North Carolina, or Elkin, North Carolina. You can look us up on our website, calvarybcug.com, and all of the information that you'll need is right there on our website, and we certainly would love for you to check out our website and get acquainted with Calvary Baptist Church. Check out our Facebook page as well. That's a wonderful way to get connected with us and find out more about our church. We have all of our archived services there. Our pastor hosts a daily live stream as well. That's called Countdown to Courage, and it happens every Tuesday through Friday at 3 o'clock Eastern. Again, wonderful ways to connect with our pastor and connect with our church. And then we'd love for you to come join us for one of our upcoming services at Calvary Baptist Church. We're so excited about all that God is doing. We are excited about the fact that God is still saving souls in 2024, and there are still disciples being made and exciting, vibrant churches that are gathering and singing and listening to good gospel preaching, Bible preaching. And we're excited about all that God's doing at Calvary, and we'd like to invite you to come join us for one of our upcoming services. Hey, if you're standing in need of prayer today, we want to remind you about our prayer helpline that's available today at 704-327-5662. Give that number a call today, and one of our prayer helpline personal workers would love to take your call today and stand with you in prayer about whatever needs that you're facing today. We're going to jump into a wonderful song right now by Hiles Anderson College called My Redeemer is Faithful and True. My goodness, what a great song. You're going to love this song today. Listen to the words, and it'll help you. And then we're going to get into the message today. This is part two of a message we began last week called The Four Calls to Soul Winning, given by our pastor, Brother Stephen Pope. We're so glad that you've tuned in today. We hope you have a wonderful day. Thank you for tuning in to Countdown to Courage, a ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Union Grove, North Carolina. Have a wonderful day.
As I look back on this road I've traveled, I see so many times He's carried me through. And if there's one thing that I've learned in my life, my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He has said, my Redeemer.
I thought about old Ronald Deans, man, years and years ago down here at the old building. And man, we just had a handful of people at the time. I mean, we were just getting started, but God was doing something, and the Spirit of God was beginning to work. I remember meeting Ronald. I can remember being over here on Mitch Road, over here on the dirt road, Mitch Road, and I ran into Ronald Deans for the very, very first time. I'll never forget it. And one of the reasons is because I can remember Ronald leaning up against the wall. He was leaning up against the wall. And the reason he's leaning up against the wall because he was so drunk, and he was using the wall to try to help him stand up. And I remember talking to Ronald that night, and I introduced myself, and I said, "Hey, Ronald." And I don't know if he introduced himself. I think they introduced him and said, "This is Ronald Deans." And I said, "Hey, Ronald." And I said, I'm Brother Steve. I pastor the church down here at Calvary. And man, I'm so glad to meet you. And I shook his hand. And I'll never forget, Ronald was so drunk that night, his eyes didn't look like he had any white in his eyes at all. His eyes were so bloodshot, looked like just big pools of blood. But I remember greeting Ronald that night. Well, several weeks went by. We were down here in a Sunday morning service. And I remember it was right around preaching time. I was getting ready to start. And all of a sudden, in the back door, a man walked in with a blue pair of Dickie pants and a blue work shirt on, and walked in. It was Ronald Deans. Ronald Deans walked in, sat on the back row back there in the old church. And I know we shouldn't have thought this. I know we shouldn't have. I know we're wrong. I know we shouldn't have thought this. But when everybody saw Ronald come in, they thought, man, what's going on? Ronald must be starving to death. I mean, he must be hungry. He must be desperate to come here. And Ronald's going to ask for a handout. He's going to ask for some food or some groceries or something. But you know what? That service went on. Ronald never said a word. We had our song service. I preached that day. And when I preached and gave the invitation, Ronald Deans stepped out from the back row and walked the aisle. And he came forward. And I thought, well, here it goes. He's going to say, "Preacher, I'm starving. Preacher, I'm hungry. Preacher, I need some help." And by the way, we would have helped him. You understand that? We would have helped him. But he walked down. And I took him by the hand. And I said, "Hey, Ronald." I said, "It's so good to see you today. What can we do for you?" And Ronald said, "Preacher, I need to be saved. I need to be saved." And I'll never forget one of our men who was serving as a deacon at the time there at Calvary. I called him up, and he took Ronald to the side. And Ronald, come on now, church, Ronald got born again. He got born again. And now, let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what happened. Sunday night. Now, Ronald didn't have a car. He had a bicycle. And on Sunday night, that bicycle come rolling into the parking lot, and Ronald Deans, the town drunk in Union Grove, North Carolina, attended the Sunday night service at Calvary Baptist Church. Guess what happened? On Wednesday night, a bicycle pulled into the parking lot on Wednesday night, and Ronald Deans, the town drunk, no, let me rephrase that, the former town drunk, walked in on a Wednesday night. Guess what happened? Next Sunday morning, Ronald Deans walked in on a Sunday morning service and a Sunday night service and a Wednesday night service and a Sunday morning service and a Sunday night service. And I noticed that Ronald didn't have two nickels rubbed together. Everything he had in the past, he spent it on booze and alcohol. But I noticed Ronald at least tried to start tucking his shirt tail in, and he at least tried to start cleaning himself up a little bit. I noticed that Ronald, man, I'm telling you, the reason I'm pausing because I'm about to shout right now. And I noticed that Ronald got him a Bible, and he had his Bible and started bringing his Bible to the service. Wait a minute now. It wasn't long after that. Wasn't long after that, they found Ronald. He had a little path. He'd ride that bicycle on, a little shortcut maybe. And they found Ronald on that path, and he was dead. You know what I believe, church, with all my heart? You know what I believe? I believe God said, "Come on, Ronald. Come on home." And Ronald got saved, and we baptized him. By the way, we buried him down here in our cemetery. And I thought, you know what? Ronald's in heaven, and he's cheering us on tonight. You know why? Because, thank God, somebody answered the call from above. Amen? And because of that, Ronald is saved tonight. There's a call from above. I want to tell you something else. Number two, there's a call from below. There's a call from below. Would you look at your Bibles, Luke chapter 16? In your Bibles tonight, Luke chapter 16. Now, I'm not going to read this whole scripture, this evening. But look at Luke chapter 9, Luke 16, and look at verse number 22. And you know the story well, most of you do. This is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. But we're gonna pick up the story in verse 22. Luke 16, verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. I believe that saved people get an angelic escort into glory. I believe that. I believe there'll not be not one solitary shred of fear for the child of God. I don't believe you'll fear when death finally comes. And even for you folks that are very apprehensive about dying, when death finally comes, if you're really born again, there won't be one ounce of fear, not one ounce. And not only will there not be fear, but God's going to send an escort, a hospitality team, and they're going to escort you to heaven. And that's what happened here to Lazarus. The Bible says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Look what happened. The rich man also died and was buried. Verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Look at verse 24. The Bible says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from this. But look, if you will, at verse 27. Then he said, watch this. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You know what we have right there in Luke chapter 16? We have a call from below. A call from below. This man became concerned about those following in his footsteps. By the way, not preaching on this tonight, but did you notice that people have a memory in hell? He had a full memory. He knew how many family members he had. By the way, he knew exactly where they lived. He could have sent Lazarus right to that address. He knew, listen, he had a complete memory. He remembered all those times he had opportunities to trust Jesus, and yet he did not do it. And we see that call from below. Somebody said this, the greatest soul winners are in hell. The greatest soul winners are in hell. You know why? Because if they could get out, they wouldn't care what anybody thinks. I can guarantee you that. Most of you have heard of the Salvation Army. Many, many years ago, William Booth, they called him General. General William Booth founded the Salvation Army. And General William Booth said this. He said, I wish I could hang every enlistee of the Salvation Army. I wish I could hang every enlistee over hell for 24 hours. And if I could, I'd have a different kind of soldier. That's true, isn't it? Man, some of the greatest soul winners ever are in hell. I thought about that story I heard about the fellow that was on the Green Mile. He was on his way to his execution. And they came and they gave him his last meal. And a little bit later on, after he finished his meal, several guards came. The warden of the prison came. The chaplain came. They unlocked his cell door and they brought him out of the cell. They began to walk down that long, long corridor called the Green Mile. Began to walk down that corridor to take him to the executioner. And the chaplain was walking alongside of the warden and the guards. And as they were walking, he was just reading scripture. He read a little while on heaven. He read a little while on eternity. And this, as they were on their way, he began to read scripture verses on hell. And here's the thing. They said he read it without any emotion. He read it without any passion. He read it without any compassion, just monotone, no feeling, nothing. And they said as they were almost to that execution room, that criminal stopped dead in his tracks. And he looked at that chaplain and he said, you know what? He said, if I believed what you're reading about that place called hell. He said, I'm going to tell you what I do. He said, if I believe what you're reading about that place of fire and brimstone and screaming and crying, and he said, if I really believe what you're reading, he said, I'd crawl across broken glass across England to try to share the gospel with everybody I could. He said, I'd get on the highest house, and he said, I'd shout it out from the rooftop that you better get saved. You better come to the Lord. If I really believe that, well, church, you know what? That's true. That's really going to happen. There is a place called hell. Man, and I know that's not pleasant, and I know it's not politically correct, and I know we don't hear tons of preaching on that anymore, but I'm just telling you, there is a heaven, there's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun, amen? And listen, we need to answer the call. You say, preacher, I've not been called to preach. I get it. You've not been called to be an evangelist. Okay, but I tell you what you are. You're called to be a soul winner. Why? There's a call from above. There's a call from below. I'll tell you something else. There's a call from within. A call from within. That's exactly right. Hey, would you do this? Would you look in your Bibles look over to, let's see, Acts chapter 8 with me? Acts chapter 8. There's a call from within. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about when you say there's a call from within? Now this is pretty good. Listen to this. Did you know if you and I will yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, He will lead us to witness to the lost? And here's the important thing. It's so important we listen. Now, maybe I can't give you all of these, but let me look at a few. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 29. The Bible says, in Acts 8, verse 29, the Bible says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And so we know that story. We just preached on that just the other day, Ethiopian eunuch. And the Bible tells us that Philip had a call from within, the Holy Ghost. Said, Philip, here's what I want you to do. Here's where I want you to go. I want you to go talk to this man specifically. Turn over a page or two. Look at Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, verse number 12. This is talking about the Apostle Peter. Acts 11, verse 12. The Bible says, and the Spirit, Peter said, and the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Turn over a few more pages. Look at Acts chapter 16. And look at verse number 7. The Holy Spirit will say, go. The Holy Spirit will say, whoa. Do you know that? Look what happened. Acts 16, verse 7. The Bible says, and this is about Paul and Silas, and they were come to Mysia. They essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Now here's my point. There's a call. There's a call from above. There's a call from below. There's a call from within. If you and I will be yielded to the Holy Spirit, you know what He'll do? Man, He'll impress it upon your heart to witness to somebody. And it could be somebody that really, really needs a witness. And here's the thing. You may not know why they need a witness, but if the Spirit of God really, really lays it on your heart, man, do it. Do it. Old story. I was up here. This has been several years ago now. I was up here at the gas station up here in Union Grove, and I was getting a little gas. And this guy pulled in on a Harley. And right, you know, I was on this side of the island. He pulled in on this side of the island, pulled in on a Harley. Man, he had everything. Leather jacket, leather pants, boots. He had hair, man, going all the way down his back. I mean, man, he was biker. I mean, full-blown biker dude, you know. He looked like something straight out of the Hell's Angels. I mean, he was a rough-looking guy. Long beard, long hair. Man, he rolled into there on that thing, you know, and I'm over there minding my own business, putting gas in my car, and the Holy Spirit said, and I was like, what do you mean? Well, see, here's the thing. I knew what he meant. And the Holy Spirit said, you need to give that man a track. I thought, Lord, you can't be serious. He said, you need to give that man a track. I thought, Lord, that man don't want a track. He don't want a track. And the Lord said, you need to give that man a track. And I thought, Lord, that man eats tracks for, he eats gospel tracks for breakfast. I promise you that. And he don't want a track. And I'm telling you, I was pumping gas and trying to come up with excuses. And I said, Lord, if I give that man a track, he'll cuss me out. And or maybe worse than that, you know. And the Holy Spirit said, you give that man a track. Give that man a track. And I thought, Lord, he looks, man, I mean, Lord, you see him? You see what he looks like? And the Holy Spirit said, you give that man a track. And man, I just finally, praise the Lord, finally, I yielded. Man, I pulled out a gospel track, you know, and I walked over there and I said, hey, friend, how you doing? I said, can I give you something from the church? By the way, one of the nicest guys you ever want to meet in your life. I mean, man, just took that track just graciously. Man, he said, thank you very much. Now, wait a minute now. I didn't get the opportunity to witness him that day, but there's a reason that guy needed a gospel track. There's a reason the Holy Spirit said, you better do this. You better do it. Now, I don't know what's coming down the road, but the Holy Spirit does. Amen. I remember years ago, some of our ladies went out visiting, and they led a guy to Christ. I remember this. They led a guy to Christ. And it was about 3 to 4 weeks later, they came to me. Man, I mean, they just were so excited. And they said, preacher, you gotta see this. And I thought, what in the world? What's going on? And they had a little clipping from the newspaper. And it was an obituary. And they said, preacher, they said, this is the guy. We knocked on his door. We led him to Christ. You know what? He missed hell by about 3 weeks. You know why? Somebody answered the call. Easy? No. But somebody answered the call.
Friend, we're so glad you've stayed with us throughout the broadcast today. If you're listening and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, I want to encourage you to give your heart and life to Him. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, Jesus promised that He would come in. Would you realize several things? Number one, we're sinners in need of a Savior, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us in Romans 6, but God loved you so much that He gave His only Son. The Bible says in Romans 5 and verse number 8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Christ came. He took my sins upon Him. He took your sins upon Him. And He went to the cross of Calvary. And there He bled and suffered and died and paid the penalty for your sins and mine. They put Him in the grave. But 3 days later, God raised Him from the dead. He's a living, resurrected Savior. And He came to save you and I from hell. But not only that, but He came to save us to Himself. And the Bible tells us this, that if you'd be willing to acknowledge Him today, if you'd be willing to open your heart and life to Him today, our Bible promises in Romans chapter 10, verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If today you'd be willing to open your heart and life to Christ and just say something like this to Him, dear Lord, I'm so sorry for my sins. I believe that You died for me and rose again. And so right now, please forgive me for my sinfulness. And Lord, please come into my heart and life and save my soul. I receive You as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank You, Jesus, for saving me. Now help me to live for You the rest of my days. I hope you prayed that prayer today and meant it from your heart. If you did, please reach out to us. We want to rejoice with you. And we'd love to get some helpful information into your hands that will help you with your Christian walk. God bless you. Again, thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast today. We love you in the Lord.